إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم عبد الله ورسوله أرسله ربه بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ألا وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. I bear witness that there is no worthy in our worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I bear witness that Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, peace be upon him, is the seal of the prophets and the final messenger to all of humanity. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none to misguide, and whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala leads to go astray, there is none to guide the right. أما بعد، يقول الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم وصدق القائلين: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. Or you believe, be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the way he deserves, and don't die unless you are in a state of complete submission or Islam to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last time we spoke about janaza, and we spoke about what happens when someone dies, what happens if we die today, what will happen in the next life, and what will happen to the family. And today, inshallah, the second and the last part of this series, we'll talk about the adab of janaza. What happens in the janaza when we do the funeral in the masjid, or what happens in the house, and what happens in the graveyard. فاليوم إن شاء الله نتكلم الجزء الثاني مما بدأناه في المرة الماضية عن ماذا سيحدث إذا مات الإنسان وماذا ينتظره في الآخرة وماذا يحصل لأهله بعد موته. واليوم إن شاء الله نتكلم عن بعض آداب الجنازة التي يقع فيها كثير من الناس، وأحيانا بعض الناس يلتبس عليهم الأمر في عدة أمور، منها مثلا تأخير الجنازة، ومنها مثلا صلاة النساء على الجنازة أو ذهاب الناس أو النساء خلف الجنازة وترتيل الميت على القبر والمشي على القبور وكيفية إحداد المرأة بعد وفاة زوجها وماذا ينفع الميت. هذه الأمور يعني يسأل عنها كثير من الناس ووضعناها في خطبة واحدة. So today inshallah we'll talk about some of the adab, some of the etiquettes of the janaza, and I always get these questions so I put them together. So one of them is, for example, related to delaying the janaza for no reason. And number two, what about women? Can they pray the funeral prayer, and can they follow the janazah and go to the graveyard with the janazah? And they can go to the graves generally to make dua and so on and so forth to pray for the deceased. And what about giving kalimat shahada, saying la ilaha illallah to the deceased in the grave, and walking on the graves? And what should a woman who lost her husband do after the janazah, in the idda, the period, which is the 4 months and 10 days? What can she do and what she can't do? And also the things that benefit us after we leave this world. So this is the topic for today, inshallah. So the first one, which is related to delaying the funeral, the burial, of course, Islamically, you have to do it right away unless there is a reason to delay. Say, for example, someone died in an accident and the hospital takes a couple of days for investigation and to finish the paperwork and all that stuff. And for if you do an autopsy on the body, this is something out of your hands. There's nothing you can do. And some say maybe you can wait for some time, not for too long, until the wali comes of the deceased to take care of the funeral. If there is a very urgent situation that delays the burial, then fine. But for no reason you shouldn't delay. Hadith is Sahih in the Bukhari, يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: السرير في الجنازة فإن تكو صالحة فخير تقدمونها، يعني هتدخلوا الجنة وهو كويس، وإن كان غير ذلك فشرا تضعونه على قبره، ما تراك راسه. So the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said in this authentic hadith in Sahih Bukhari, do the janazah very quick and go to the graveyard for the burial right away. Then the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says, if the person you are carrying in the casket is a good person, then you are sending him to Jannah, first class, so take him right away. But if he is a miserable soul, then it's something evil that you put off your shoulder. خلاص, you remove him from your shoulder. So do it right away, unless there is a reason to delay.
acts of worship are the same for men and women. Women fast in Ramadan just like the men. They pray just like the men. They go for the hajj just like the men. So praying for the deceased is the duty of men and women. So of course, men take care of the funeral. But if women come and they pray in the back, of course, they have the right to pray. And at the time of the Prophet, the women pray janazah for the deceased just like the men. So there's no difference between the two. The second thing which the scholars agree on, that both women and men can go anytime to the graveyard to remember the dead, to make dua for the deceased, to pray for them. There's nothing wrong, Islamically. Because it will remind you of the next life, it will soften your heart, and so on and so forth. The issue here, the controversial issue is women going with the funeral itself for the burial. Well, there are some hadith, some of them are authentic, some are not, to talk about women following the janazah. There's a hadith by Ibn Mu'atiyah and Sahih Bukhari, Nuhina عن اتباع الجنائز ولم يعزم عليه. So Mu'atiyah رضي الله عنها and Sahih Bukhari, she said, we as women have been discouraged from following the janazah, but this discouraging is not confirmed or reinforced. Which means, there's a difference among scholars. The majority of them, they say, للنهي في الحديث للتنزيل وليس للتحريم. That women shouldn't go with the funeral because it doesn't fit them as gentle creatures. Because they go there, they cry, they lose consciousness. So what are you going to do? Take care of the funeral or take care of the lady and take her, whatever, to the hospital, whatever. So, you need to focus on the janazah. There is a hadith narrated by Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu from Fatima radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet says, he saw her one time going to somebody who lost a beloved one to visit them and offer her sorrows, and the Prophet said, if a lady follows the janazah, she will not make it to Jannah. This is a fabricated hadith, it is not authentic. There are some other hadith where the Prophet saw a woman following the funeral and Umar radiallahu anha tried to stop her, and the Prophet said, leave her alone. Because she was walking like she was not mingling with the men, she was decent, she was making a scene, she was not crying or anything, screaming. So the Prophet said, leave her alone. Must the women go to the graveyard with the funeral? Well, if they want, should they go? No, they don't have to. And if they go, they should adhere to the etiquette of janazah, which is to keep a distance. Maybe they can sit in the cars until the janazah is over, the digging and the burial. Maybe they can come and say their dua or whatever. But they shouldn't mingle with the men. I remember one time, I was in a masjid in Alberta, and there was a janazah for someone from a country that used to be under the Soviets back in a long time ago. So this brother died, and his family came and his friends. The total was like 10, 15 people. I was busy with something else. Somebody was getting married, so I went there, and one of the brothers, he went with the janazah. He said that the women went with the janazah as well. So what happened? The women at the time of the burial, they went there and they tried to carry the casket. Of course, they couldn't. The guy was hit. And when they buried the brother, one of them jumped in the grave, and she opened the thing and she started to take pictures, and like this picture. What is this? Like a mug shot. And he said one of them fell down because she lost her consciousness. She was devastated. The brother said, well, it was like a zoo in the graveyard. It was like a zoo. He said, you know what? I'm not going to go again with a funeral like this, or I'll resign. I'm not going to go again. Okay? So this is the men's job, carrying the casket and the burial and all these things. So this is not the woman's job. They can, as I said, they can keep a distance. They shouldn't mingle with the men, and they should only say decent things. They shouldn't scream and make a scene. And they can make dua. This is the acceptable opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third one, which is related to talqeen al-mayyit, telling the deceased in the grave to say la ilaha illallah, kalima shahada. Of course, all our ulama agree that giving kalima shahada to someone who is dying is part of the sunnah. And the Prophet ﷺ said in several authentic hadith, laqeenu mawtakum la ilaha illallah. If someone is dying and you remind them to say la ilaha illallah, it's a good thing. If this is the last thing they say, it's a good sign. This is the good sign of somebody's good end. But should a person say it, you should tell someone to say it in their grave after you bury them. Well, the question was presented to Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, and he says, is it a must that people should make talqeen to someone who died in the grave? He says, well, all the scholars agree that it is not a must. But there is a difference. Some say it is mustahab, some say it is bid'ah, some say it's makruh, some say it's mubah. So Imam Ibn Taymiyyah, he said, what I feel comfortable about that it is permissible, that it is not obligated, that it is not completely haram. Why is it? Because there is a hadith from Abi Umama al-Bahri radiallahu anhu, one of the Sahaba of the Prophet. The hadith is in a Tabarani. Many of the scholars say it's a weak hadith or it's not an authentic hadith. But he said the fact that one of the Sahaba or some of the Sahaba, like Wafila ibn al-Asqa'i, also did the talqeen, it means that it is okay to do. So personally, I don't do talqeen if someone dies and he or she is in the grave. I don't give them kalima shahada, because if they are good Muslim, they will remember it automatically. If they are bad, no matter how much you remind them, they're not going to remember it anyway. But if I see someone doing it, I'm not going to protest, because this is supported by some opinions of the ulama, like some scholars in the Hanbali school and some in the Shafi'i school, but the majority say you shouldn't do it anyway. And this is the opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a'la wa'ala. Walking on the graves. The Prophet ﷺ says in Musnad ibn Majah, أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ أَنْ أَمْشِيَ عَلَى جَمْرَةٍ عَنْ أَمْشِيَ عَلَى قَبْرِ مُسْلِمٍ. So the Prophet ﷺ says in an authentic hadith in Musnad ibn Majah, it is better for me, I would rather walk on fire than to walk on a grave of a Muslim. It's very disrespectful, and the family might be there and they see you walking on the grave of their mother or their brother, and they wouldn't feel comfortable about it. So you should show respect to the family and also to the deceased. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to teach us what is beneficial in this life, to give us the best in the next life. InshaAllah.
In paradise,
And he says that the difference between the rank and the next one is like the difference between the distance between the heavens and the earth. So the person is in the rank, say for example they're in the 37th rank, and they're raised to the 38th rank. And the person will say, Ya Allah, why am I raised in rank? I didn't do anything. So the Prophet, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will say, this is because of your son. He did something good for you, so you are raised in rank. So this is number two. Number three, whoever, من حفر بئرا أو أجرى نهرا أو غرس نخلا أو بنى مسجدا أو ورث مصحفا. So these are the examples given in the hadith for constant charity, like digging a stream so people can drink and they can water, or provide water to their animals, or digging a well, or building a mosque, or giving a mushaf for charity, or planting trees. So these are the examples given by the Prophet. These are the things that can benefit the person in the next life. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'la. The last point is idda, for someone who lost her husband, or a lady who was divorced. Especially the lady who lost her husband, the idda is 4 months and 10 days. Can she go out? Well, the scholars say it is very important in this period, the waiting period, before she can get somebody else after 4 months and 10 days, to show sorrow and sadness for the passing of her husband. She shouldn't get dressed in colorful clothes and put makeup and walk in the street and crack jokes with people. No. Go to the movies? No. Stay in the house, show sadness, and you shouldn't talk to anyone about getting married? No. Don't accept proposals for marriage. And the adab are given in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter number 2, and how somebody can show their interest in a lady who lost her husband. Like, you know, somebody might be interested, you're a good lady, or maybe, you know, I'm looking for a wife, inshallah. Something like this, very general, but you shouldn't be specific. Can she go out for work, like she has a job, can she go to work, can she go for shopping? Well, if there is a need, the hadith say that the lady should stay in the house. She can receive guests, like families, people who come and stay with her because she feels lonely after passing with her husband. She can visit her family if there's a need. She can go for shopping or go to work or to school. If there is a need, if there's no one who provides for the lady and she has to work, then she can go out. Otherwise, she has to stay in the house, and she has also to sleep in her house at night. She shouldn't sleep outside based on authentic hadith. There's also another hadith from Jabir ibn Abdullah. We'll conclude with this, inshallah, in Sahih Bukhari, that her aunt, Ammatahu, Khalatahu, she was divorced 3 times. So the divorce was finalized. So she went to her farm to work, take care of her palm trees. So a relative of her saw her going to the farm and work in the idda, in the waiting period. فَعَنَّفَهَا And he said, what's wrong with you? You go in the idda, you work in the farm, what is this? There was nobody to work for her and serve the family. She came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulullah, this is what happened. You know, I was going to the farm and my relative said you shouldn't do this and all this stuff. What should I do? The Prophet said, اعملي فلعلكي تصيبي خيرا وتصدقي. So the Prophet says, if this is the case, then go and work in your farm. Maybe you can give charity or do something good. So there's nothing wrong as long as the person or the lady keeps the guidelines of Islam. But she shouldn't live in a cocoon and feel like a prisoner. No, be yourself, but show sadness. And don't receive proposals from marriage. And these are the etiquettes of the janazah. Briefly, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us and to forgive our sins, and to give us the best in this life and the best in the life to come. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in alimana ma yanfa'una wa yanfa'una wa alamana. Allahumma aghfir lana. Allahumma taqabbal minna as-salihat. Waghfir lana as-sallat. Allahumma aghfir lana as-salihat ya rabbal alameen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala أن لا يدع لنا في هذا اليوم العظيم ذنبا إلا غفر اللهم لا تدع لنا ذنبا إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا ميتا إلا رحمته ولا مظلوما إلا نصرته ولا ظالما إلا خصمته اللهم اغفر بإخواننا المسلمين المستضعفين في غزة وفي فلسطين وفي العراق وفي ليبيا وفي مصر وفي الصومال وفي باكستان وفي أفغانستان وفي كردستان وفي كل مكان يظلم فيه المسلمون اللهم ول على المسلمين في ربهم ولا تولي عليهم شرارهم يا رب العالمين وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وأقم الصلاة